In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. I'm so excited to be here tonight and to be having my first show here on Transformation Talk Radio, and absolutely thrilled to have my dear friend, Jacob Lieberman, here with me. Welcome to The Spark, Jacob.
It's great to be here. It's great. I love that introduction. It was just so right on the money, too. So it was terrific. Yeah, it's lovely to see you and lovely to be here.
Awesome. Jacob is coming to us from Maui and just was chatting a little bit before we started. Sounds like you are extremely busy. What's been happening?
I don't know. A Vedic astrologer, a very famous one, I received a gift of a Vedic astrology reading, I think in 1990 or 1991. And one of the final things he said to me was, the most powerful period of your life is going to be 2019 to 2034. And at the time, it was like, you know, this is 30 years ago. It was like, what? You know? And then 2019, Deborah and I get married. And then 2020, you know, the year of clarity, the pandemic comes. And now, as I said, people is knocking on my door. So, you know, it's what's my sense of it? I guess it's my time up at bat. And so I'm being given the opportunity to perhaps share with a larger audience, if you will. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I have no idea. But it's nice. It's nice. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, and let's just for listeners, I mean, I always feel like because we're such close friends, everybody else must know you too. And Jacob Lieberman is an amazing speaker, author, thought leader, and I'm not saying this right, Jacob. How can I say it? I know that you're a scientist, but there's a specific term that you use.
Well, I was originally trained as a physician in the vision care field, so I did that. I'm also a vision scientist. What am I? I'm an ordinary human being that, through grace, has been touched by that which is not visible, that's animating us, and it's been animating my life, and it's animating the words coming through right now. And there's something delightful about that. So I'm not sure what I do, but whatever it is, it's contagious. It's like when you and I get together, there's some contagious thing going on with us. So I notice that when I connect with people and we merge, something unknown to each of us occurs and we both leave the better for it. What the magic is, I don't know exactly. and it doesn't make any difference to me. The only thing that makes a difference for me is I feel nourished, they feel nourished, and then that nourishment seems to almost be like a drop falling in a lake. It just creates something that starts to grow and continues growing. And so I guess I just help people, which is, I guess, why I'm here.
Well, and the gift that I loved that I got to experience with you was you and I, when you came to Fort Collins a couple of years ago. Well, gosh, it's going to be a couple of years in October.
Yeah.
And we had those two wonderful days to hang out before we did the summit together.
Yeah, that was fantastic. You know what was fun about it? Interacting with the lovely people working at different restaurants that were so kind to us, whether they were bringing food to us at that sort of a cowboy breakfast joint, or maybe it was Mexican, I don't remember, but it was unusual and really yummy, and just people were just ordinary, you know, and then the wonderful sushi experience. And it seemed like everywhere we went, something magical was happening. And that's really exciting because, you know, we think these things happen once in a blue moon, but in fact, they're continually going on. And so that's what I'm noticing a lot these days. And it makes ordinary life exceedingly extraordinary.
Well, and what strikes me, Jacob, is the fact that when you and I remember us being in Ace Hardware, and we were looking for a screw for your luggage.
Right.
Because the handle, part of the handle had broken off.
Right.
And I think one of the important things in this is that you and I just went there. And what was magic is that we actually talked with people. We spoke with people. We noticed people.
Yeah.
And just through those interactions, that's where the magic happened. I remember at one point looking around, and I think you and I at one point had about five clerks just in conversation with us, just surrounding us because we were having a lovely conversation.
And what was exciting is I came in hoping they would have a little screw that maybe would allow me to fix this broken handle. And if you remember, the guy not only found the screw, but fixed it for me. And so I walked out with and I still have it today, and it's still working just fine. So here we went in looking for one thing, and what we got was the answer to everything. We got the connection with people. We had the sweetness of the gentleman fixing my bag. And it's like that's going on all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I went shopping at a little market a couple of days ago, a little local market that I only go to when I'm in a certain part of town because they've got some special Asian noodles that we like. And so I stepped in there and I picked up 24 of these packages. And I'm sitting in line. And there's a lady in front of me who's checking out. And the woman says, you know, $100 and something. And the lady starts to take money out of her bag. And then there's no more money. And so the woman said, well, there'll be this much. You still owe this amount. So she puts a credit card in there. And you hear a little beep like, no, this one doesn't. You can't take anything from this one. So she puts in three credit cards in a row, and by this time I realize the elderly lady doesn't have the money. And so I nudged on the cashier, and I said, listen, I'll take care of it. Just give her all her groceries. Just set her on her way. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Really? Oh, yeah, of course. No problem. And the lady looked at me. And like she knew something magical had happened, but she couldn't imagine exactly what it was. And she smiled at me, and I smiled at her, and both of us were blessed. And I left there, and I went on, and a friend of mine called me within seconds, and I said, I just had the most wonderful experience. And I shared it with him, and I said, I never let those go by. Whenever the opportunity comes to surprise someone, to help someone, whatever it is, it's like the best money can buy. It's like it's like fantastic. And so I'm blessed with a lot of those opportunities in my life to say thank you, to express my gratefulness, to put whatever good juju I can into the world, because each of us has a different purpose, and each of us deposits a different kind of juju into the bank account. I remember I was speaking in Florida a few years ago when I was on a book tour, and someone in the crowd said to me, well, how do you deal with evil? And immediately what came up was, well, you can't. And they said, what do you mean you can't? I said, well, you see, you think certain people are being evil, but those same people, they think they're doing God's work. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're both doing God's work in different ways, but just don't know it. I said, there's always people whose work in the world is very, very different than our own. And we may see it in one way or another, but they feel they're doing the best they can, and you feel you're doing the best you can. I said, if your bank account in life is about a bank account of good feelings, make as many deposits as you can whenever you can. The other people will make the bank deposits in whatever their bank account is about. And then the master accountant will see where the balance goes. And I said, so for those of us that are blessed with an awareness of the kinds of things we're speaking about, we're choiceless. It never occurs to me, oh, I can make an extra bit of money by doing this. I never get that feeling. So each of us is here. We have certain things that make us smile. And as you said, that's what our work in the world is all about. And when we allow that to be, we plant seeds of goodness wherever we go. And that creates forests of goodness. So, yeah.
Well, I love that, you know, and it's so beautiful and so true. And it reminds me of probably your most quoted quote by me is that we're all the same height.
Right.
And I think when we realize that, it gives us permission. It doesn't matter what position we have in life, what our income is, what our belief right. system is, that we can show up in each moment,
yeah,
and bring that kindness through.
Yeah.
And we, like, I love how you talk about that. It's effortless, because I think people think, well, I have to be somebody or I have to do a certain thing. And one of the beautiful things I've learned from you is we just have to be present to the moment. If we just show up, these miracles are going to unfold, and we have the opportunity yeah. continually to touch one another's lives in these amazing ways.
You know, when an infant comes into the world, it doesn't know it's an infant. It doesn't know that there's a gender. It doesn't know that there's skin coloration or different religions. It literally doesn't have any preferences because it sees things as they are. There is unconditional acceptance is literally hardwired. The infant doesn't know that it is not the face it is observing. It has no sense of duality, if you will. And then, of course, we're conditioned from early on to make choices. And the choices that we make are supposed to please the world, because we want confirmation from the world that we're okay, which means that I have to always do what's going to make you smile or whoever is outside, be it a teacher, my priest, my parents, whatever it is. And so our life is about saying yes or no to the outside world. And no, for the most part, is not allowed, because people don't like it when you say no. They want you to say yes. So much of the mental activity that we experience is, we call it thinking, but it's actually worrying, it's rehearsing. What do I have to do to appear as good as I can, to be as acceptable as I can, to make sure I get the job or I get the raise or I get the response that I think that I would like to have? And most of the stress that we encounter is the stress we feel when we feel one way, but we're not supposed to share how we feel with the world. We're supposed to, in some way, twist it around so it's acceptable. And so, in reality, there is no choice. There's only yes. And the yes is to the inner guidance. So when you and I, we did that first interview, I remember, and then you were on Maui. And the moment we met, it was sealed. If we never spoke again, it would be. And if we spoke 10 years later, we would end up, we would begin at a deeper place than we were the time before. It literally required nothing. So something inside said, ah, yes. And so there was a yes. However, sometimes you connect with someone and that resonance isn't there. Now, you may think that you know why, but we never know why. We have no idea the origin of our genetics. Even our points of view have been evolving for tens of millions of years. How do we know where the trigger was that began this process? But when the resonance isn't there, and you don't get that immediate yes, then you say yes to your no. So you say yes to your yes, which is automatic, or you just are comfortable choiceless about just what's there. Just what's there. And so one of the things that I share with people is just keep responding to your inner guidance, not the external world, but just what feels that's in a flow, that's in a peaceful place for you. And you will find that that truth will not only set you free, but it will set the other free as well. It sets everyone free, whether we know it or not at that moment. And I find that when that occurs in my life, there's less trouble. There's less stress. I don't find myself in situations, as our good friend Steve Berryman would say, that are situations. I don't find myself there. So there's little things that I've learned about life. We could call them the facts of life, but as commonsensical as they sound, they're so different than what we were trained to do that we often find ourselves habituated to acting out of our conditioning, which is very difficult to break, until something awakens and you have an epiphany. And that seeing all of a sudden alters the course of events and things begin to occur in a different way.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're bringing this up because I just have been writing about a piece of this in the new book that I'm writing. And, you know, that piece of how we really get domesticated when we're young because we do want to fit in. And as a woman, you know, my experience has been oftentimes, as a little girl in particular, children are to be seen, not heard. You know, that was that thing. I would sit around my grandparents' table. This is my father's parents. And this is old school where they would sit there and visit sometimes for 1 or 2 hours. And it didn't matter if you were 3 or 13, you were expected as a child to sit at that table and be quiet until all the adults were done eating and got up to leave. And, you know, what that instilled in me was this sense of, wow, I guess I'm not supposed to have my voice because maybe something was funny or I wanted to have an opinion about something. But in that environment, you weren't allowed. And so how interesting it is, I think that's been such a passion for me in my professional life, is giving women their voices, helping them and truly helping all of us, whether it's male or female, but women in particular, who it's, you know, the message oftentimes is don't laugh too loud. Don't talk too loud. Don't be too vibrant. Don't be too smart. And we still have those messages.
Little boys are conditioned in the same way. You know, it probably begins when you came out of your mom and they wrapped you up in a pink blanket, not a blue one. That they gave you a name, you know, that wasn't Jim, but was Stephanie. And it begins right off the bat. And we're not only trained not to share what's inside, we're trained to wear a girdle. Now, some people today wouldn't even know what a girdle is because we don't see girdles so much any longer. But a girdle is something that you put on that not only makes you smaller than you are, but squeezes you because you have to hold your breath when something naturally wants to surface and something puts a damper on it or puts a stopper on it. And that compression of energy is so often the cause of our illness. I mean, you know, when you think about it, about 90% of disease is significantly caused by or related to something called stress. And we say, well, stress is when you're getting a divorce or you're moving or you lost all of your money. That's just the obvious stuff. That's the straw that breaks the camel's back. The real stress is that continual girdle that we have to wear day in and day out, that continual addiction to worrying in hopes that things come out okay, that we get it right, that we make the good grade, that we make the dean's list, like that we win the beauty contest, you know, whatever it is, and that we're smart enough. And so many of us become adults not realizing that the process of conditioning has adulterated us. And we find ourselves in professions and in jobs that we realize sometime later, this isn't really me. I'm an artist. I'm a singer, I'm a this, I'm a that. So this is really an important area, one, to see that this is occurring, and also to see that wearing a girdle is in fact the trigger for us breaking out of the girdle. So there's all sides of this. You know, there's the piece where we feel like our voice is told you can't share. And then it is that that creates an urge to just break out, which is why we're having this conversation. So I guess it's all in the great mystery, you know, and this conglomeration of something that we call life that all of a sudden brings us to this place where we uncover a level of truth beyond opinion.
Well, and I love it, whether it's busting out of our girdle or whether it's excavating that right. essence that is us, that is that light that truly is that spark.
Yeah, yeah.
And allow that to really illuminate and guide our lives, like you referred to earlier, you know, our inner GPS.
Yeah. And, you know, in as much as we always say, well, tell me what I have to do, because we've been so indoctrinated that we have to do something. I mean, what am I going to be when I grow up? You know? But just as what's happening right now between us, if both of us got a smile going all the time, because something is getting ignited just by itself, just because we've connected. And so I guess what I'm sharing is when you are in the field of another person who is experiencing that level of their life, it helps to invite that level of our lives to come out. And so just connecting with birds of a feather causes us to fall in love. And in that place of being in love, the individuals within us disappear. And the only thing that remains, to use your beautiful expression, is a bright spark. And that spark triggers things, just like a spark plug gets your engine going. That spark ignites something in life that is a paradigm shift, that is a quantum leap. We call it creativity, or things just start happening all on their own. And you say, my God, how did that happen? And then you find out that life is continually happening all by itself. So it's lovely when we just notice that we're continually being taken. We're just continually being taken wherever we need to be. And each time there's a surprise and an opportunity. And, you know, we're taught from the beginning that the only constant is change. But change is normally referred to as an inconvenience. And we don't want to be inconvenienced. But the inconveniences in life are really the catalyst for our delightenment. And so perhaps we'll speak a little bit more about inconvenience.
Yes, I think this is going to be such an important thing. So we're going to break for commercial, but looking forward to having everyone come back and join me with Jacob Lieberman as we talk about some of these inconveniences and how they actually can become the sparks that ignite us from within.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBetton.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Clare, Clare-ity.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Okay, and welcome back to The Spark with Stephanie James. I am here with vision scientist Jacob Lieberman. So thrilled to have my dear friend here with me for this very special first show, and really excited to have all of you join us. Just thrilled to have listeners from all over the nation and all over the world tuning in. Such a special occasion, and just so thrilled. I have the most amazing team here, Jacob. I am so thankful for Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm thankful for transformation.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we left before break. We were talking about when things are happening in our life, when there's this interruption.
Yeah.
Speak more about that.
Yeah, that's the shit of life. He said, that's shit. I hate when that happens. But there's an amazing importance to shit in our lives. Just like there is manure that helps flowers grow, that same disturbance, inconvenience, perturbance in our life is what disturbs the status quo and allows for expansion, the quantum leaps. And to give you an example, about 6 weeks ago, I received an email that, for whatever reason, it wasn't a personal email, but for whatever reason, it really pushed me over the edge. And I found myself, before I knew it, a torpedo had hit the hull of my ship. My ship was going toward the bottom of the ocean. I was in the midst of a rabbit hole, had no idea how I got there. And it took me about 10 days to emerge, to come back to the surface. Mm. And I thought, boy, isn't that interesting? And then about a week and a half ago, I was driving somewhere. I was with my daughter, who's now living on Maui, and with Deborah. And I heard my phone ding. And I picked it up, and lo and behold, it's an email from that same place. And immediately, my heart starts to pump. And normally, you know, I would just stop and look at it. What do I have to do? And so on. And I just got, no, it's Sunday. Whatever it is, I'll handle it just like I've handled everything else in my life. And I put the phone down. I didn't open the email until the following morning. And I had a wonderful evening. And by the time the next morning came, I really didn't care what was in the email. It didn't make any difference. I just would respond. And it didn't even raise a hair on the back of my head. Why am I sharing that with you? The same person, an email from the same source, both dealing with the same thing. One torpedoed my life, and the other one, had something else occurred, would have repeated the same thing. But something occurred in that moment, and I can't tell you exactly what happened because I don't know. But there was such an awareness from the first experience, which was a 10-day experience. There was such a, it took me to such a depth of discomfort that I discovered a capacity within myself that I either didn't know about before or had forgotten about. And then all of a sudden, I get a repeat performance. The producer and director of life has said, take two. Here we go again. What's going to happen today? And nothing happens. It didn't ruffle me. I felt it about to begin. And right in the moment of that beginning, something had a realization. The mind was already going. And then whatever was noticing the mind noticed that everything just was. Everything would be just fine, whatever it was. You know, either I was going to be alive, and I'm sharing this now, this didn't come through then, but either I was going to be alive and handle this situation, or it would kill me, in which case I wouldn't have to handle it at all. But in either case, it would be handled. And whatever occurred in that moment was so profound for me, because I saw in real time how a crisis can instantaneously become an opportunity. And that's maybe why in the East, crisis and opportunity mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because within that same space lies different possibilities. I used to say years ago, the mystic swims in the same ocean the schizophrenic drowns in. So that identical example coming up twice sunk me one day and took me to the moon the next. And that's a lovely example of how something occurs that you don't have any sense of beforehand, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, life just dealt me what normally would be called an inconvenience, and in some way I saw it as a convenience, and it transformed my life. And since that, I've had other opportunities that to relive this. You know, I've had opportunities where things that were disturbed me occurred, things that would trigger worry in me for most of my life occurred, but no worry. I mean, so now, since that initial event, I've had two or three experiences that would have normally just pushed me over, but nothing happened. And I think that's an important thing to share, because that's called evolution. That's the way evolution works. Every experience rewires us in one way or another. And whether we call the experience ecstasy, or we call the experience just, you know, the dark night of the soul, both of them create an opportunity for us, and it expands us. It disturbs us, and then it expands us. And that perturbance is what makes everything come out in the wash.
You know, I'm remembering as you say that, one of your sayings as well, when you talk about, you know, it's the grain of sand.
Right.
That's in the oyster.
Right.
That then creates, through that agitation, the pearl.
Right.
And I have found this so true in my own life as well. And I think it's really important in these times when there's so much, and there always has been, but we're having it broadcast so much, right, the unpredictability and the daily drama, that if we get caught in that, if, you know, we get caught in these outer life circumstances, that really can be that sinking submarine that you're talking about. It can really take us down the rabbit hole. And instead of looking, you know, we can think of as we've all been indoors so much during the pandemic, either that could have been crisis for many people, and it was, or it was opportunity for many people, and it was. Some people were shut in with their spouse and they're no longer married.
Right.
And some people were shut in with their spouse and they deepened intimacy, right, and connection, right, and joy and vibrancy. So I think there's something huge here about, it wasn't about your outer circumstances,
right,
so much as it was about your inner circumstances.
Yeah. You know, this is going on in life all the time. Every year in school, there was a point, they call it back to school. And mom or dad would take you out and you'd get a new notebook, a new lunchbox, you know, a new thermos, and a new notebook, and you'd get new clothes. Why did you get new clothes? Because the old clothes was too small. You just couldn't get into it any longer. You outgrew it. When we outgrow something in life, which means that we've expanded beyond it, even though life says, you want safety, security, and predictability, put your girdle on. But since those things don't actually exist in the way we think of them, we have no problems buying new clothes. But when life feels too tight, a situation has allowed us an awareness that it's just too tight here, the fear is that if we take off that clothes, we're never going to find something else that fits. Mm-hmm. And so we go in, we recede from the situation for a little while because we feel a little uncomfortable. And then, while we're not looking, life provides us a new set of clothes, and we emerge again. And, you know, you mentioned the grain of sand and the oyster. Same thing happens with a lobster. A lobster is a creature that lives in a shell. But as the lobster grows, the shell doesn't grow with it. So every time it gets too tight, what happens is the lobster has to jump out of its shell and hide quickly so nothing eats it while it's shellless. And so it hides under a rock and waits for a new shell to grow. And the same thing happens in life over and over again. And so there's a natural part of us that feels some discomfort when these little inconveniences occur. There's a natural part of us that recedes and pulls back a little bit, because that's what happens to all creatures when we feel a certain degree of lack of safety. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely assured that you're going to grow a new shell or a new set of clothes or a new level of awareness. That's just the way everything works. I mean, there are a few, everyone that's listening to this show has had an ache or a pain at some point. Oh, my neck is out. Oh, my lower back is out. Oh, I lost all my money. Oh, my lover has left me. And all of us believe when that happens, it's never going to change. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll never fall in love again. Oh my God, I'm going to be out in the streets. And yet, if we look back, we see that all that continually changes. That the aches and pains are no longer here. Or maybe there's a different ache and a pain. That the loss of money, well, the money came back. Oh, there's someone else new in my life. Oh, I have another home to live in. Evolution does not go in reverse. It's a process of continual expansion. It goes on forever. It doesn't end when we're 50 or 60 or 70. It keeps going. And so when we recognize that, not as a theory, but as a fact, what occurs is that the aging process ends and the saging process begins. And it's a, we keep, the body might get more wrinkles and less hair and all these kinds of things, but the heart grows. The wisdom grows, the understanding deepens, the degree of love, the degree of gratefulness, the all that stuff that you cannot put a value on, it's priceless, you can't describe it, it's the most meaningful piece of life, emerges. And then we become wealthy. Whether we have millions of dollars or very little money, we're wealthy. We're prosperous. We have whatever it is that we need. And all of that is brought about by something called life.
I'm wondering if you would share with us one of the times in your life where one of these difficulties seemed to present themselves, and that it actually held within it a gift. Because I often think that's that becomes sometimes the tripping stone, if you will, or where people find difficulty getting the perspective that you're speaking of and being able to see like, wow, that actually was a beautiful gift.
Yeah. Actually, I can't think of a difficult time that hasn't been a gift. So there's so many of them because, as Buddha said, life is difficult. But the difficulty is what creates the depth. The difficulty is what's allowing us to have this gorgeous conversation. In the late 70s, a marriage that I was in with two infants ended very unexpectedly. I mean, within a month of moving into a new home, of opening up a new practice, having two little babes, and wow, the eggshell that held me just cracked everywhere, and I was oozing out from every corner. I started having panic attacks, about 20 or 30 a day. I mean, I was in really bad shape, and nobody had ever heard the term panic attacks back then in 1978. And people wanted to medicate me or hospitalize me. I would start uncontrollably shaking, sometimes for hours. I could not get warm enough to stop shaking. I almost burned my skin once getting into the shower in incredibly hot water, but I couldn't stop shaking. And that lasted 6.5 years. Talk about being in the bardo. And that person and I, who I had a beautiful conversation with a couple hours ago, is among my closest friends. And that was the most excavating, painful, terrifying part of my life. I will never forget it. And yet the person you are hearing and speaking with today, your friend Jacob, is the result of that event. That event is what allowed me to understand real life, not theoretical life. That event is what moved me to and gave me the confidence to be able to reach my hand out to someone that's going through difficult times and to not be their therapist or their coach or their mentor, but just to be a friend. You know, that is what has allowed me to be of some assistance to people, because I've been there, and there is what got me here. Without there, I might still be practicing optometry or doing something that I was trained to do and made good money with and was successful and drove my Mercedes and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, but this that I have right now, this this respect for the mystery of life, this love affair or inseparability from the source of all that is, all of that came from that experience. That was the first thing in my life that literally just shredded everything and gave me the confidence when it happened again, which it did, to be able to move through that, and then to be able to move through that, and then to be able to move through that. And you know, I've had incidences where I've lost every cent I had. I mean, every cent I had. Or to lose partners. Or to lose companies. I've had all those experiences. And they were all pretty brutal. And all of that has sculpted this. And this right now is softer than ever, more content than I've ever been my entire life, and humbled by life, grateful for the the tiny little blessings we have just having a simple conversation like this and realizing that we're all students of life. We're all learning. As you just said, we're all the same height. And in the process of realizing that we are inseparable from each other, we embrace each other in the same way we embrace ourselves, and we take care of each other in the same way as we take care of ourselves. What more can be said?
So beautiful, Jacob. Thank you so much for sharing that story that just touched my heart. I was having a hard time not tearing up over here. That's really the hope. That's the hope for all of us, that we can be in that place and realize that this moment is the beautiful moment. And the things that we've gone through are the things that will continue to ignite more beautiful moments and allowing us to be more fully alive. So Jacob, how do people learn more about you?
They can go to my website, which is jacoblieberman.org, and that's LIBERMAN. I guess they can follow me on Facebook, social media, things like that. And just pop over to my website, take a look at it, and if it feels like there's something there for you, you'll know it. If it feels like something is not there for you, you'll know that. And in either case, life will take you to where you need to be.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you so much for being my special guest on this first episode. Just so much love to you. And I just appreciate the light that you've been in my life and the light that you are in the world.
I feel the same way about you. And I'm so happy that I could be with you on this first evening of this new show. And let this be the beginning of many wonderful conversations that will touch the heart of both you, the person you're interviewing, and all the people who are tuning in. And thank your engineers and your producers who sit in the background quietly and nobody knows they're there, but without them, this could not be.
Thank you. Thank you. Thankful for Jacob, my producer, Jacob Lieberman in Transformational Talk Radio. I'll be excited to visit with you all next week on The Spark.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.